and sweet water cannot come from the same spring. Well, from God's Word, you should not have both either. The practice of healing brought forth in this book of James. I know you're going to like it. James, that great book of instruction. Rewards from God or self. You know, you have a choice in life. You can allow God to reward you, or you can just reward yourself and ignore God, because that's all you're going to get. And it's strictly your choice. And our Father makes that clear, and that's kind of what we're going to go through the Scripture today and single out that thought. Because many people, I have this question that I receive ever so many times is, why doesn't God bless me? Well, you got to do it His way. You know? If you don't, you're just treading water, and that's it. You're going nowhere, and you are in deep trouble. It's sad, because to see someone that really wants to do what's right, and you know, they want to please God. Well, how do you please Him? By doing what He wants. How do you find out what He wants? You've got to open His book every once in a while. You've got to find out what He says, what He says He wants. God will never mislead you. He will never forsake you. He will always tell you what He wants. And all you have to do, you know, and He's made it so easy, we don't even have to be perfect. We'd be in trouble if we had to. But when you make a try, when you say, Father, I'm going for it, He kind of considers it already done. And then when you fall, He will help pick you back up. I mean, He has really made it simple for us. But there is one thing that's at the bottom of this whole thing, and it's the key to happiness and success on earth. It's called faith. That's your deed. Faith is your deed. Your promise to that happiness and rewards from God. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 40 as we look into this. Isaiah chapter 40, and it's kind of a chapter of comfort. The first verse even starts out with, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. He wants you to be comforted. You know something? He loves you. And He wants you to be happy. And He makes it so easy for us to grasp that happiness if we listen to Him, if we do it His way. I want to pick it up with the 9th verse, with the thought of His rewards. The 9th verse of chapter 40, the great book of Isaiah, and it reads, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up unto the high mountain, O Jerusalem. That means the city of peace, all right? Yerushalayim. That bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. You've got to watch Him. You've got to look up on Him. Well, isn't He in a different dimension than we are? Yes, He is. But that doesn't mean He isn't right there. When you need Him, He is. You look upon Him. You trust Him. You have faith in Him. When I come to this point, I can never help remember Elijah's little servant, and this man's armor bearer or servant, when they climbed up on a hill, looked over, and I mean the enemy was so numerous you couldn't even count them hardly. And Elisha says to the boy, get ready to attack. Just us? You know? And he said, Lord, could you just open that veil just a little bit and let him see your army above us? And the Lord did that. He opened that veil. And man, he scared up the enemy so bad, half of them ran over themselves and killed themselves trying to get out of there. So you see, our Father, even though he's in a different dimension, he loves you, and as it's written in the great book of Matthew, your angel has the face of God anytime you're in trouble. If you be one of God's elect, that is to say, if you try to please him, that's saying a lot. And that's not the, don't you try to turn that into angel worship on me, because that's, you're not to worship angels, you're to worship your Father. That's where you can get in trouble, all right? And look upon God. That's what he says to do. Verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Naturally, that's a promise. That promise came true at the first advent when Christ came. His reward was with him. If you have faith to believe in him, you're going to be successful. You can just put it down for that. That's exactly the way God intended. He planned it. He didn't just say this to be wasting time. It's a promise. Now, you either believe him or you don't. Well, I believe just a little bit. No, you don't. You either believe. This is the way he counts it. You either believe or you don't. And don't try to waste his time unless you're going to be serious. God is not some mere conception. He's a reality. It's not difficult to have faith in him. His reward is with him. He came at the first advent. He left a great deal of that reward for us right here today. It's always been here. And all you have to do is claim it. It's yours. It's his promise. Verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently, I said gently, lead those that are with young. In other words, he is so gentle with young what? Young in the word. Young in understanding. Young in knowledge. If you're trying, he's gonna keep the wolf off your back. And he's gonna gently lead you. Now first of all, what did he say he was gonna do? He said, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. How does a shepherd feed a flock? Does he go around saying, here, just eat this right now. You take this down like it or lump it. No. All the shepherd does is stand off and provides the pasture and gives them their choice, and they eat. You know. The shepherd sees that the enemy is off their back. I don't know. Have you got a shepherd that keeps the enemy off your back? Well, you know that. That way, let's say that where you work there's a little bit of nitpicking going on. You know? Or in your family there's a little bit of nitpicking going on. If you have a shepherd, he'll take that staff and reach over and grab somebody by the whatever and get their attention and take care of his lambs. You don't have to worry about that. That's just the way our Father... How did it say he fed? Like the shepherd. The shepherd protects his sheep. Just as, you know, and God has... Do you know where the word pastor comes from? Tending the pasture for the shepherd. Okay? That's the etymology of the word, is to see and to carry on his work. And but we have only one shepherd, actually, and that shepherd is Christ. He will never leave you nor forsake you. His reward is with him. What does that mean? Well, that doesn't mean you have to wait till heaven for payday. Not for all of it. Some of it's with him. He's with you. And he's going to reward you. The old saying, it rains on both the just and the unjust. And that's true. But at the same time, he has the privilege on the unjust crop to send weevils in to eat it up. Whereby yours, if you're an intelligent person, you know how to handle weevils and snakes. Okay? So the rain does you just fine. But it doesn't matter whether it rains on the unjust or not. They're bound for some place that it don't make any difference anyway. All right? So it's your privilege. It's your choice. God has provided the pasture. He has promised the reward, and He keeps His promises. And it's there for you, the world before you, to do with what you choose. And you mean the whole world? Well, we cover it. As a matter of fact, June the 1st, we start hitting all of Great Britain in the English-speaking world 1 hour a day on television. We cover the whole world by shortwave. That's called growth and blessings. That's called rewards. That God rewards His people. And we thank our Father for that. Who did it? He did. We have to give the credit where credit is due. All right? And we simply are workers in His field. And I thank our Father for that. It is a great blessing that our outreach grows stronger and stronger, and the trumpet blows louder and louder. The important thing, though, is that the trumpet sticks to the Word. You've got people that can get out of focus, and here I'm digressing in my own mind, but be that as it may. If you're not careful, you can digress out of the Word of God, and God's not going to bless that. What did He say? Teach my Word, my pasture, my sheep. I want them fed my Word, not somebody else's. Okay? Verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in the scales, and the hills in a balance? You think you could do that? I mean, our Father is so far above us in knowledge and wisdom, that when you, and the question, what this is going to lead down to, is, do you want to give God advice? You want to be real careful when you answer that. Do you want to give God advice? Then I would say, and He would say, who are you? We don't know that He spoke, and He controls dispensations of time, as well as creation. There's a lot we don't know. We can simply, well, really, brother, don't you understand the Big Bang? The Big Bang does it all. Well, listen, let me tell you something. Politically correctness is an excuse to lie to people and change history. With the excuse of, you don't want to offend anyone. I never apologize for truth. When somebody asks you to apologize for truth, something's wrong. It's one thing to have good manners and dignity. But brother, you don't understand. This has to do with racism, and people are different. That's the point. We are different, and you are to if you're going to be a true Christian, you're going to respect with dignity their difference. That's truth. And that's not trying to pave over two things that man created. Man did this, evolution did that. That's like going out here and 100 feet off the ground trying to build a platform. It will fall every time. God is with you when you remain focused on His Word. Don't try to give Him advice. What does that mean then? Listen to His Word. Absorb it. He's wiser than you are. He has documented it by predicting the crucifixion 1,000 years before it happened, even down to the Roman soldiers gambling for his clothing. Verse 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor hath taught Him? well, this good doctor might have a try at it. Well, that good doctor would be on a quick trip to a place. You know, that would be stupidity to its highest degree. Our Father is so loving and so caring that even though He had the ability and did create all things, walk out in the night and look up at the stars, and yet at the same time He is so complete that He loves you. He created your soul because He wanted someone just like you. Why? He loves you. Truly cares what happens to you. Therefore, He made it so easy for you. 14. With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way to understanding? Well, it certainly wasn't Satan, all right? And I guess this would be the place you would want to make up your mind who you were going to follow, all right? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. A nation to Him means nothing as far as power is concerned. If God is with an army, they're going to win. They're going to overcome. 16. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. In the first place, we know He doesn't want burnt offerings, and the cedars of Lebanon were the greatest and the richest of all cedar. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. That word in the Hebrew, vanity, is tu'a, and it means totally and completely void. Why? There's only one kingdom that is eternal. All this other stuff is going to the wayside. And there is one nation, and that nation is God's kingdom. And there's only one king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that nation, as a matter of fact, the world would paint many pictures about war. God is still in control. Well, I wonder how they did that so quickly. Well, I ask the Father. It doesn't take long. Ask Him. Know who He blesses, who He rewards, people that follow Him. Does God enjoy a dictator that would miserably massacre people, innocent people? We're just beginning to learn some of the atrocities. And some of the atrocities He pulled as an old combat Marine make me wish I had a hold of Him. Okay? He did some very, very bad, bad things. And don't worry, God will take care of it. Right? I want to go to the very last. Now, let's continue on, just one or two more. To whom, then, will you liken God? That's a good question. Or what likeness will you compare unto Him? You know, why would you want to have a likeness compared to Him? Do you know what a likeness compared to Him would be? An idol. We've got Him. And He's got us if you have submitted. Go to the very last verse of the chapter. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Do you want your strength renewed? Do you get tired? Do you get weary? Do you get depressed? Do you get down? Then be renewed in Him. Take Him. Let Him strengthen you. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That's God's army. That's God's children. That is to say, God strengthens those that have faith in Him to know that He loves us, He uses us, and His reward is with Him. It always has been, and He shares that reward even to today. And this little old chapel is a prime example of that, and I thank Him for that, as I know every member does. It's, you know, it's a blessing that we receive anywhere from 200 to 600 new members every day. That's hard to understand and realize, to grasp, you know. Well, do you keep all of them? No, just the good ones. That is to say, those that choose to follow God and study the Word. But we have a great percentage in that. I guess it would be all right if I say it. We keep 25%. And they end up being real fine students. And that's a fantastic average. Okay? Okay. Let's go to the New Testament for a while. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Our Father will strengthen you. Our Father will, when you are weak and discouraged, He will pick you up. All you have to do is understand His Word, to know that He is with you, that He will strengthen you, He will heal you, He will take care of your enemies for that you cannot take care of. And chapter 5, we're just going to spend a verse or two here. This is the Beatitudes, as you know. The word blessed in the Beatitudes can just as well be translated happy. Happy are you, that happy are the poor in spirit. That means humble in spirit before God. Verse 11 is where I want to come to. Happy or blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. That's a big difference, friend. Falsely. For my sake. That means for teaching God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. What God, if people talk against you for that, they had better be very careful. Why? Verse 12. Rejoice. Don't pay any attention to them. Rejoice. And be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. God just blesses and blesses and blesses. Great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And that's the way it is. A lot of people will say, well, I just want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Well, you better be careful. You may not be tough enough. Right? They roused him up pretty bad. He wasn't well liked most places he went, even though many listened. So what are you supposed to be then? 13, ye are the salt of the earth, so be salty. But if the salt has lost its savor, means if you walk into the crowd and don't make any difference with your very presence, your countenance, your wick is burning way too low. You're supposed to be happy. It doesn't matter that things are going wrong. It's going right for you because you're serving Him. Wherewith shall it be salted? You're supposed to do it. It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Always keep your saltiness. Well, are you saying that we're supposed to be arrogant? No. When you know a thing by knowing languages and knowing of a surety that a thing is true, you're going to be accused of being arrogant because you state yea, yea, not nay, nay. It's just axiomatic that it's going to happen. Don't worry about it. Stick to the truth. But how do I know? Well, you study. And don't ever, when you're ready to teach, you know how you can tell people will want to hear what you have to say. And until then, well, you know, it's keep working at it. Keep in the Word. And God chooses whom He will. And listen, those that plant seeds and only become an influence in one child, one soul's life. I don't care. A child can be from 6 to 60 in Christianity. If you change one person, it's worth it. You're worthwhile. And God looks at it as part of the family. And that, quite frankly, is the way the word is spread, not by preachers necessarily. Or I'll even add evangelists. So many would argue with that, especially evangelists, okay? But human beings, little citizens that witness, always spread Christianity, true Christianity, more than anything else. And that is just great. His reward, even though you might listen to bad talk that is spread, anytime you become a public figure, people are going to say bad things. They're lies, and what can you do about it? Well, if you spent your time chasing that, you'd never have time to teach God's Word. Which do I choose, then? Teach God's Word. All right? And let them do or say what they want. It's a bunch of lies. It's falsely anyway. Who cares? All right? So, anyway, stick with His Word always. You have a choice. You can take the blessings of the world, or you can take the blessings of God. Well, let me see. Now, what are the blessings of the world? Do your brother before he does you. That's the way that score goes. That's the governor. That's the way the world thinks, is what I'm saying. Do you want blessings from those people, or do you want them from God? Because, you see, God can change all minds that are in relationship to you if they get in your way of serving God, of doing God's work. He can reach down and fine-tune and give them an attitude adjustment, and they'd never know the difference. Okay. In protecting His own, in leading His own. Why did I say that? You, as a single Christian, by the salt you set forth in life, in your profession, then that saltiness or that blessing rubs off on others and makes them want to look up as well. Okay, that's how God works through His children. Okay, let's go to the sixth chapter of Matthew here. And here we have some of the ways that that you have self-rewards rather than God's rewards. Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed, that means you be right real careful, that you do not do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward. You have what? You have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Well, now, what does that mean? You have people in this world who, let's say they're business people in a town, and they figure out, well, most of the people in this town go to this church here, the biggest one in town. I will go there and get to be a deacon. And I will be known as a Christian, and everybody trusts a Christian, and they'll buy my used cars. They'll buy them right and left. So he becomes a Christian to, in the sight of man, to receive rewards for himself. A lot of people, some people, and I don't like to judge people. Thank God there's not all that many of this kind, really, I guess, or at least I'm glad I don't come in contact with them, that want to play Christian to simply say, I am really a goody-goody two-shoes. I'm just naturally a little bit better. I'm wiser than other people, and I'm very wise in the world. And they do things simply for the appearance sake in front of people rather than to be honest with our Father. That's bad. Do you know why? He's got your number coming out the gate. He sees you coming a long way off. And he's going to trim you down to size because that makes him angry. And he's got a little bit of a temper. Okay? Verse 2. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's all they're going to get. There is no more for them. If that's the reason you do things, I just want to really look good in the eyes of people. You know, I want their trust. You want God's love is what you want in your life. And the rest of it will fall in place. People can't help loving you when you love God, basically, if they're children of God. Verse 3, but when thou doest alms, your good works, and of course giving has to do with this also, but I want you to think of it more in works, alright? And when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That means you alone do it and don't advertise. Well, guess what I did the other day? I was downtown, there was a little old lady fell down, and I picked her up and hustled her across the street. I helped her up. I did it. I helped that poor thing, and she might have died right there if it hadn't been for me. I did that good thing. Well, keep it to yourself, okay? You don't have to blow a trumpet and sound the alarm. There are things like when you, I don't want to go into this. There are so many things. When you help somebody, don't advertise it, okay? You know, it doesn't do any good. I wanted to share something with you, and I thought that, man, talk about advertising on national television. That'd be... So I'll just let that one pass. When you do something good, you don't have to say, hey, I did it. You know what? God gave you the ability to do it. So you need to thank our Father that He can use you and that you can be a blessing to others. Do you know something? People count on you. They do. You mean something to people. Now, Lord, I don't know who it'd be, but... seriously, and I shouldn't jest about that. Everybody means something to somebody, and you need to set that example and trust. Let be honest always. And don't put a show on playing Christian. There are no rewards for that. Verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. He always will. Don't rob yourself, okay? Do it His way. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's a self-reward. I just love to stand up here and show people what a good man I am praying openly to the people, you know, for the people. You know, and this is the type of person that will... come into a place and will actually sit down and say, well, I wonder what the little people are doing tonight. You know, that's hypocritical, all right? Because even if that be your frame of mind, God sent you to the little people to be a blessing to them, not to hang it into them. All right? You should always be a positive in other people's lives rather than a negative, if it is at all possible. There are some people you cannot get along with. I grant that. That's biblical. Paul said it. He said, if it is possible, get along with your neighbor, because I guarantee you there are some neighbors there ain't no way, friend. You're not going to get along with them, you know. And wherever they move, it'll be about the same way. But just a wise person knows how to handle a situation even like that, okay? So always be pleasing to God. And, one of the best ways to be humble before God, and no one has to preach how humble they are, okay? Because that kind of kills the thought coming out the gate, you know. You know, when some preacher, well, I'll use a preacher as an example. I want you all to know that I'm an humble soul before God. Okay, well, you know, when you teach God's Word, the best way to stay humble is to say, it's God's Word, not mine. And He's your Father, I'm not. And He loves you, and He can help you. And He is with you wherever you go. I'm not. He can lift you up. He can help you. He can bless you. I mean, after all, He owns everything. That's your Father, okay? And let's see what we're going to do here. I want to go all the way down to verse 16 to close out here in the sixth chapter. Verse 16 reads, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. Oh, when they fast, this is hurting me and I'm doing it for Jesus. I want everybody to see that I'm hurting for Jesus. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So you can choose which reward you want here on earth. Which is it? Do you want God's reward, or do you want yourself reward? You can have it like that, and hey, that's it. That's all she wrote. And I thank our Father, of course, for that fact, that He is with us, that He does bless us, and most of all, that He rewards us. And Dennis, you want to check lobby, please. And He rewards us and takes care of us. And I thank our Father for that. Okay, moving along. Hebrews, the great book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Which reward do you choose? This second chapter, and we're going to cover very little here, this is one of my favorite chapters in God's Word. It tells why Christ came to this earth, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. That He wanted us to know that if He asked you to come here in the flesh, He wasn't too good to do it Himself. Only He could show you how to get it done perfectly. And when you get it done perfectly, if He did, if that were possible, well, certainly our Father, that in itself is part of our Father's blessings, that He takes care of us. And that's why He wants to call you friend and brethren. He did it Himself. That's what this chapter 2 is about. We won't go to that depth, but verse 1, let's go with it. Therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The Greek word here is like water runs out of a bottle. Don't let truth slip out of your mind like that. I know that may sound silly to you, but sometimes if you stay away from God's Word too long, it'll happen to you, friend. It'll run out. It'll slip out on you. And other things will take its place. Don't let that happen. Verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, if it was true, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. In other words, when you're corrected, let it show that God's word is true, even when you're corrected, all right? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? It was passed on from generation to generation, even down to now. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his will. According to whose will? God's will. This is something that is very difficult for man to tune into. Listen to me. It's going to be done God's way. If you want to know what the future holds, then understand what it is that God's way is. And then you will know exactly how it's going down and what God's plan is. Think of it in his terms, because he is not selfish and he wants everyone to have an opportunity to hear the truth and to come to that simple plan of salvation, whomsoever will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? It crowned him with honor. God cares about man. There is that kinship there. And this is something, if my ministry, God's ministry through me, has ever developed. I hope it's a better relationship between man and God, between self and God. Because he's not some force out there in space. We're created in his image. And he loves us very much. He cares. He sheds tears for his children. He rejoices for his children. That's important, all right? Thou madest man a little lower than thou madest him, being Christ, a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. Do you know what that means? He's in charge. The shepherd that tends you while you're grazing on his word, he's in charge. He's got everything under his control that was given him by Almighty God. For what purpose? Verse 14 to complete in this chapter. Verse 14. If you want to know why Christ came to this earth, it's all summed up in this one verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Devil is death. And God did destroy him. You know, the words on the cross in verse 12 here are Christ's words on the cross in Psalms 22:22. It's amazing how our Father in his gentleness leads us into that truth. Now, what does this mean to you then? How can you tie into that truth? Go with me to the 10th chapter of this great book of Hebrews. Your choice in life. God's rewards are self-reward. It's up to you. Hebrews chapter 10, and let's pick it up, if we may, with verse 30. Verse 30 reads, For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense. That's kind of a reward itself in a way. Okay. saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's going to happen. And you know something? I'm glad. A lot of people right away want to say, you're going to be judged. And fear comes over them. Well, have you repented recently? If you repented, you don't have anything to fear. He's not angry at you. He loves you. That's what repentance is about. Okay, and judgment to you is reward. It's payday. It's good. It's when good things happen. Okay, 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and truly it is. You don't want to be against Him, because that'd be like a grasshopper tugging the bale of hay. I think I got that crossed up some way, but be that as it may. 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, that means when you could see truth, when you could see the dispensations of God, when you could see and understand His plan, you endured a great fight of afflictions. When you first really make a stand for Him, it will seem to you that the world kind of comes down against you. And sometimes it does, okay? Because Satan wants to test your okra coming right out the gate. Let's find out what you're made out of. And God allows it, because He's not going to let yourself be tested more than you can handle, because He's promised you in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, I will never, never allow something to test you past what you can handle, and I will always show you a way out. That's if you're a believer. He will do that. So, but sometimes it seems that way, so you got to get tough, all right? You got to get a little salty. Verse 33, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used, when you became a Christian, for you had compassion of me in my bones, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and a more enduring substance. That substance is a guarantee. We'll talk more about it here in just a moment. This is why we came here. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, for which hath great recompense of reward. It's going to bring it, friend, in your life today, now, if you practice it. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You will. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will tarry not. Now the just shall live by faith. That's why faith is so important. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. In other words, you're on your own, friend. It's your reward, your way, when you draw back. You have to walk by faith. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. What is perdition? Perdition means in the Greek to perish. This is why the son of perdition is only one, and that's Satan, because he's been promised to perish. Now really, this all melts down to the next few verses in chapter 11, called the faith chapter. But there is so much more said if you care to go to a little deeper level of thought. Okay. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance. Do you know what substance is? This Greek word means it was deeds that were written on the papyrus. In other words, it's your deed. Faith is the deed of things hoped for. The evidence, it's the proof of things not seen. That's a strong, strong statement. For by it the elders obtained a good report. through faith we understand that the world, if you want, scratch that word world and put eon, it's time, okay? Not erets, terra firma. You don't have to scratch it. You'll remember it, won't you? Of course. It doesn't mean erets. It doesn't mean, let me say this in English, soil, dirt, the globe. It means this time, okay? For the times, the dispensations, were framed by the Word of God. Now, this does not mean that the erets, the earth itself, was not created, but we're not talking about creation here. We're talking about dispensations of time. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, and nor can appear. There were the dispensation, verse 4, listen carefully. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. He accepted them, God did. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. In other words, Abel, though being dead, his offering spoke. Now listen, this is very important, what follows. By faith, Enoch was translated, transfigured, was taken by God, just as Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration. You got it? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For what purpose? For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What testimony? What in the world was Enoch's testimony? Book of Jude. I'm not going to turn there, and you don't have to. It's very short. It's just one chapter. It says that Enoch prophesied of the coming of the Kenites, the Nephilim, the Nephilim, from on high. That's to say, the fallen angels. The Hebrew prime Napha, fallen angels. He told of their coming and what they were going to do. And God was so pleased with that. Just as he is today when that message continues to be taught. That's important. If you want the deed, that's how he earned it. Verse 6. But without faith, listen carefully, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please our Father. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That God is what? That God is. That he's not merely some thought out here that someone might speculate about, but that he is real. That he is reality, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't know, do you? It's up to you. And when we know that God is not merely some concept that man tries to put forth, but is a reality, that is the beginning of pleasing him, because that is establishing your faith in him. To know that in this dispensation of time, that he intends the truth, whether well received or not, doesn't matter, but received by those that would, that God could bless, and truth could be expounded, taken forth, multiplied, blessed, and so it is. You know, this can change lives, and it does change lives every day, the Word of God. There's no such... This is why that last verse is why you'll hear me say sometimes, and it offends some people, that there's no such thing as believing a little bit. If you just believe a little bit, you're not a believer yet. You're coming around to it, okay? But you're not there. Because to believe in something, it must become a fact. not a concept, but God must become a reality. This is why many times you will hear me say that Christianity is not a religion. It is a reality. And so it is. And it does. It is a way of life. And it is blessed that your Father is a rewarder. That God takes care of His own. Why shouldn't He? He loves them. And that's the way He operates, is to bless those that bless Him. And He does that. I like the fact that even at the first advent, when He came, as we started way back in the 40th chapter of Ezekiel, verse 10, He's coming. He's coming with strength. And His reward is with Him. He doesn't. That means He's not forgotten you. He's going to make it good for you. And that's a promise. And I claim that promise. I believe that promise. And you know something? He has always kept His word. The fact that those that follow Him are blessed, I think, is obvious. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for the privilege of serving You. Thank You, Father, for the privilege of the Word, the privilege of the pasture that the Chief Shepherd surrounds and protects, Father. May it continue to grow. We'll always be thankful to You, knowing it is You that bring those blessings and rewards. In Jesus, Yeshua's precious name, amen. Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the Bible and every passage where the word utilized may be found in the Scriptures. With the assistance of a reference numbering system, the English reader may easily translate any word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldean, or Greek in which God's Word was written.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next